248 DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. Right now, 47 states are under weather alerts for major winter storms, including tornadoes in Florida.
The back of the house was ripping off, and I almost couldn't get the door shut. It was trying to suck the door open, and I literally had to brace my feet against the wall.
Flooding in Georgia.
The water was up to my door, so I had to roll my pants up, put my shoes in my book bag.
And heavy rain in Maryland.
I'm Paul Gessler here in Fells Point along the Baltimore Harbor, where crews here in the city are distributing sandbags to residents and business owners, first come, first served. This is an area of the city that is prone to coastal flooding.
At least three deaths have been blamed on these storms. The Pentagon revealed today Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has been in and out of the hospital recently due to prostate cancer. But it's changing its procedures now after the White House was left out of the loop.
Secretary Austin was released from the hospital after his initial surgery, but readmitted due to complications. The incident has raised questions about delegation of authority and a directive for cabinet heads to provide information about the process they follow in such instances. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, The White House.
Former President Trump insists he should get immunity for his actions on January 6.
I feel that as a president, you have to have immunity. Very simple.
His attorneys argued for it today in Washington, but the federal appeals court judges there were skeptical about a couple questions. The NTSB is shifting focus now from a door plug to the bolts that were supposed to hold it in place as they look into that scary midair blowout on an Alaskan Airlines flight. Clint Cruikshanks is an engineer with the agency.
We have not yet recovered the four bolts that restrain it from its vertical movement, and we have not yet determined if they existed there.
Both Alaska and United Airlines have found loose hardware during plane inspections. Some migrants who've been living in New York City shelter hotels have been evicted.
They're part of the first wave of families with children impacted by the city's 60-day rule to move people out and new migrants in as more and more make their way into New York weekly. City Controller Brad Lander.
To kick families out of shelter in the middle of wintertime to displace kids from their school.
The asylum-seeking families now need to reapply for shelter.
That's CBS's Matt Piper. And today, a coroner finally confirmed late Irish singer Sinead O'Connor died from natural causes. That means her death was not caused by illness or any external forces. O'Connor died in London back in July. Thousands of fans later lined the streets for her funeral in August. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
A Packer player sent to the hospital. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs had to be sent to a nearby hospital after taking a hit against the Bears Sunday night that left him coughing up blood on the sidelines. Matt LaFleur with an update on Doubs, listed with a chest injury.
This morning, it seems to be he's doing better, but he'll be day-to-day, I would say.
Did you go to the hospital to get checked out?
Yes, he did.
Is he out now, do you know?
Oh, yeah.
The Packers play the Cowboys Sunday in Dallas. College football. The Michigan Wolverines are national champions. They beat Washington last night 34-13. It's the first national title for Michigan since 1997 when one of their players, Charles Woodson, won the Heisman Trophy. NBA. The Bucks with another loss at home, 132-116. The Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin on how the Jazz kept finding open shots.
You know, they were just shooting behind our switches, you know, and that's something we stress, you know, being physical, pushing up, switch under, you know. We dug ourselves in a hole, but we kept fighting.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter storm warnings continue. Snow showers and windy. Gusts at times 30 to 40 miles an hour with areas of blowing snow. Up to another inch this evening with snow tapering overnight. It looks mostly cloudy for tomorrow. High temperatures in the low 30s. Right now it's 31.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom. Only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul. With a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Oh, Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life one day. There must have been some magic in that old.
Welcome, everybody. It is You Are Not Immune Day here on the Civic Media Radio Network and the Maggie Dawn Show. I am joined by Anya Esther. If you want to give us a call, 844-967-2789. You're going to say hello to Anya and then join our show. We're going to be talking about the Chevron Doctrine, the immunity hearing today, and how all of this stitches together. It's all part of a whole. We're going to talk about Supreme Court ethics, all part of a whole. And let's start with the why. Because I don't want to bury the lead here. I'm going to talk a little bit about the immunity hearing today because of the extraordinariness, really, of the arguments. And I want to talk about why all of this matters so much. And this is, we've got the former MAGA president, right? And he's made a pretty extraordinary claim that basically anything he did while he was president, including what occurred on January 6th and all of the things that came before it, all of the discussions and meetings with co-conspirators, this entire group of people that he assembled and directed to challenge the outcome of the 2020 election by any means necessary, including illegal means, all of this. And his central role in directing it, the benefit that he would have gained from it, this is all part of one big criminal conspiracy. But the claims being made here by Donald Trump go well beyond this massive criminal conspiracy brought about, spearheaded, organized, and ultimately for the benefit of only one man, the former MAGA president. It goes so far beyond this individual case, right? This individual January 6th criminal case brought in the Federal Circuit Court of DC, Federal District Court of Washington, DC. This is about a fundamental idea, and that is, can presidents do whatever they want in office, criminal acts included, and can we hold them accountable for it? If you ask the former MAGA president and his co-conspirators, their answer is you can't hold a president accountable for anything he does as president unless he is both impeached and convicted of impeachment. Is that what we mean? Do we think that that should be the way that the law is interpreted? Do we really want our democracy to permit any person who's president to direct our military to kill their presidential or their political opponents, and if it comes out in public, to simply resign avoid an impeachment proceeding and be able to escape any sense of justice. Is that what we want as Americans? Especially, I'd love to hear from some conservatives. I don't want to do whataboutism. I think the case and all the things that we're talking about these days, we have to get beyond simply these instances of clearly bad judgment, right? And clearly criminal activity, right? Those cases, again, juries of regular Americans said, yes, Donald Trump, the former MAGA president, he should be indicted. This wasn't someone in the DOJ. Regular Americans had to say that. But, and there's a litany of these cases, and they're going to have their process. But as a general point, do we, the American public, especially conservatives, believe that it should be the case that a president can do whatever she wants while president, including ordering the assassination of political enemies, murdering someone on Fifth Avenue, whatever it may be, selling pardons for bribes, and simply be able to resign before they are impeached? And we know how long impeachment proceedings take now, right? Quite some time, do they not? This is my question to all of us. And how much faith do we put in the current Supreme Court, given the fact that it appears very clearly that at least one Supreme Court justice is basically bought and paid for by billionaires, not just bought and paid for and lots of illegal gifts, totally in the hundreds of thousands, maybe over $1 million worth, for not just himself, his wife, and his family, but that he effectively bribed the billionaire donor class? Do we trust these Supreme Court justices? I don't care what your politics are. Is it okay for a Supreme Court justice to bribe billionaire donors to give him gifts because he thinks he should be paid more? And is that the man whom we now entrust a decision about whether or not a president should be able to commit murder in broad daylight and simply resign and get away with it? I want to hear from you. I've got some thoughts. I bet you can probably tell what some of them are, but I'd rather hear from you. You know, we don't need to approach this in legalistic terms. Certainly, I'll talk a little bit about some of the arguments that were made because they're interesting. And I like to give you all the skinny on the technical legal stuff. But the questions here are more fundamental than that. So let's start with the basics. Is it the rule of law in this country? You don't need a law degree to answer this question. Is it the rule of law? Should it be the rule of law that a president can kill someone, can order the military to mobilize, to squash political opponents who have committed no other crimes, let's just put that out there, and simply resign before they are impeached and avoid criminal prosecution? That's the argument that's being made. As extraordinary as that certainly seems to me, and I think some other people, is that what we want here? How could we defend that? And now, in this incredibly existential moment, these billionaire bought and paid for Supreme Court justices, we're supposed to trust them to get this right? It's kind of a scary moment. So I want to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Remember, you can call, say hi to Anya, have a little chit-chat. We'll bring you on the air. Or you can text us, 844-967-2789. Let's look a little bit at the core of the arguments that were discussed today during the D.C. Circuit Court. This is the appellate court. The D.C. appellate court heard arguments today. Three judges heard arguments. This relates to the January 6th criminal case brought by special prosecutor Jack Smith against the former MAGA president. Here are what the former MAGA president's lawyers argued. First, they argued that a president is absolutely and permanently immune from prosecution for official acts while taken while president, even after the person leaves office. But they argue that prosecution would be allowed after impeachment and conviction. Okay, so we're talking about acts done while president. You can't be prosecuted unless you're impeached and convicted. That's what the former MAGA president's lawyers are saying. But here's what one of the judges on the appellate bench asked today. And it seems like Trump's lawyers may have walked him into the old legal catch-22, because you can't have it both ways. Here was the question. If you concede that a president can be criminally prosecuted under some circumstances, how can it be that the president can't be prosecuted at all? In other words, how can there be complete presidential immunity? It seems to not make sense, right? So when they argue he's completely immune from everything unless he's impeached and convicted, well, that means he's not completely immune from everything he does as an official act as president. You get my drift, right? You can't say both at the same time. Doesn't make sense. That's not the way immunities work. Immunities are typically total and complete. If you're immune, that's it. So that's kind of fascinating. He's immune unless he's impeached and convicted. That's not the way immunities work. So there's a little bit of legal logical inconsistency there. The next argument. This is where the appellate bench gets into the implications of Trump's absolute immunity argument. This is me saying he could order up SEAL Team 6 to go assassinate political rivals as soon as they announce their candidacy, right? Or for whatever reason, and then just resign and he's off the hook. Selling pardons, selling military secrets, you know, extorting foreign powers, that kind of thing. How about this? Stealing from the U.S. Treasury. That one wasn't asked about today. What if a sitting president ordered the Treasury Department to transfer all of our tax revenues into their personal offshore account? What about that? Stole your money. Is that okay? As long as she resigns before she's impeached and convicted, is that okay? I can't imagine that. Why would we want that to be okay? That just can't be the rule, can it? Yoy. So that was rabbit hole number two. Rabbit hole number three, Trump's lawyers had to acknowledge in the second impeachment hearing. So not the lawyer that was appearing today, but his lawyers in the second impeachment hearing, which was the impeachment hearings that took place after January 6th, actually conceded during that impeachment that the former MAGA president could be criminally investigated and prosecuted after he leaves office. So his lawyers in one venue said, oh, don't worry about it. You don't need to impeach him here because he can still be criminally prosecuted after he leaves office. Now he's left office and his lawyers are saying, no, you can't criminally prosecute him because you didn't impeach him. You see what I'm saying? Like, wait a minute. Huh? You can't hold me accountable here because you can hold me accountable later. And then when it's later, you can't hold me accountable now because you didn't hold me accountable earlier. Say what? Again, seems to be just logically very bizarre. Whoops. Here's the more interesting one. And I'm going to just set this one up. We're going to hear some important messages. We're going to come right back. I'm going to go to the phones and I'm going to explain this a little bit more. I believe that the DC appellate court lacks jurisdiction to hear Trump's claim of complete and total presidential immunity. And if they do lack jurisdiction, he has to go to trial. Do not pass go. Do not go to the Supreme Court where you've got billionaire bought justices. Go right to trial, sir. That's where I think we're at. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. We'll be back with more in a moment on The Maggie Dawn Show.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. SmileTrain is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity,
Our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Everybody, I'm Maggie Dawn. She is Anya Esther. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. One of the things that I love about being live on air with you is that we get to break news and solve problems and learn together live on the air. And certainly we're going to try to do that today. So I wanted to just very quickly, before we go to the phones, 844-967-2789. Join the conversation. Does this make any sense to you? Like, forget what party you are. Should it be the way that our democracy runs, that a president can do whatever they want, that Hillary Clinton, if she was president, could do whatever she wants, commit whatever series of crimes, and not ever be held criminally liable for them, no matter how egregious the crime, simply because she committed the crimes while she was president, so long as she resigns before she's impeached and convicted? That just doesn't seem to hold water. And if that's what the framers meant, don't we think they would have said that pretty clearly? You know, hey, all right. So here's the jurisdiction problem. This is a really interesting argument. The DOJ didn't even make this argument. It was filed in as an amicus brief, a friend of the court brief before the DC appeals court by a group called American Oversight. It's a nonpartisan government watchdog group. And they said, listen, you can't, Donald Trump doesn't even get to hear his case heard by either the D.C. Appeals Court or the Supreme Court of the United States because the Constitution prohibits any kind of appeals, and so do our rules of federal court procedure, prohibits appeals before conviction, especially as to claims of immunity, okay? There's an old Supreme Court ruling from 1989 written by Federalist favorite Judge Scalia, Justice Scalia. So he's a favorite of the Federalist Society, which tend to be more right-leaning. Written in 1989, it's the Midland Asphalt case. Midland Asphalt had asked the case to be dismissed, alleging that they were immune from various criminal prosecutions. And the Supreme Court held that neither the appeals court nor the Supreme Court should be hearing the matter at all before conviction, because the Constitution guarantees us all a right to speedy trials. We have a compelling interest both as a defendant and as the public to ensure that criminal cases proceed in a timely way. Gee, does that seem like that might be a thing here, that we want to make sure the evidence comes forth in a timely way, so that the public has access to the information? Yeah, that seems to really very much be an issue here, right? And Midland said that there's only three kind of cases, criminal cases, where you can allege immunity and actually get an appeal before you have been tried, okay? It's, and this is technical stuff, we don't have to get into it, motions to reduce bail, those concerning double jeopardy clauses. In other words, you're being tried again for the second time for the same crime of which you were acquitted before. And the speech or debate clause, which protects legislators from being criminally prosecuted for what they say as a legislator. That's it. Presidential immunity ain't in that list. So that's a real argument. Now, both sets of lawyers before the appeals court today said, no, that doesn't apply. This is different. I think it does. Let the trial proceed. If he thinks he shouldn't have to be held to account, let him make the claim after he's been tried. Now, the counter argument there is presidential immunity is so broad that he shouldn't even have to answer to the claims at all. Well, let's go to the phones because I promised you I would do so. 844-967-2789. Jack from Merrimack, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you, friend?
Okay. First of all, if there is complete presidential immunity, why did Ford deem it necessary to pardon Nixon. Resigned from office and was unfortunately never impeached? Now, if I understand what I've read about presidential immunity, it only applies to official presidential act. And while I've never read the presidential job description completely, at least, I don't think it really includes conspiring to incite two attempted coups, both violent and electoral, in order to steal the government of the Constitution of which he swore to support and defend. I would call that not an official act.
To say the very least, Jack, thanks so much for your call. You're right on point. And in fact, the court today asked the former MAGA president's lawyers a bit about those things. So there's a couple of distinctions, like the different kinds of actions that a president can engage in. There's official actions, which is what you do as president. And in a case just recently that was about Donald Trump's potential civil liability, people that were hurt during January 6th, including some of the police officers who killed themselves, their families have sued Donald Trump, including those who were very seriously wounded, serious head traumas that day. They have sued Donald Trump. In the case, considering civil liability, they said, listen, there's a difference between actions taken as president, as someone who holds the office of president, and actions as candidate for president, and they're not the same. In other words, simply because you happen to be president doesn't make everything that you do presidential. I won't get into gross examples, but we can extrapolate here, right? Would it be a presidential official act if Donald Trump was engaged in some sort of liaison of the really extraordinarily inappropriate variety? I would say not. That would be a non-official action. Then within the category of official actions, you've got discretionary actions and you have ministerial actions. And ministerial actions, which include following the law, can be reviewed, including criminally. The Nixon case said that civil immunity of the president extends to the outer limits of his actions as president. So there's this, well, what's core actions of the official actions? And then what's on the outer? Okay. All of that's the stuff that we lawyers tinker about, right, in our garages of the mind. But the question still stands, whatever these legal intricacies are that we bandy about because we find them interesting, we write law review articles about them, and the Federalist Society responds, and there's the legal academy has this debate. Should it be the case that the president can do whatever she wants, commit whatever sorts of crimes against the American people, and simply escape any sort of culpability or responsibility or accountability, including marshaling up hundreds of people to participate in a conspiracy to overthrow our government violently, and simply like, oh, you didn't convict me of impeachment, so you can never hold me responsible for that. Imagine if Hillary Clinton did it. 844-967-2789. So we can tie this all together with a bow. You're on the line, stay on the line. I'll take your calls when we come back. Then I'm going to get into the Chevron doctrine and some of the cases coming up before the Supreme Court in this next year, 2024, because it will be the biggest blockbuster year that this Supreme Court, that any Supreme Court has seen in at least 25 years. Don't want to miss it. Keep it locked, everybody. Back in a moment.
Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Many communities have declared snow emergencies and parking bans during today's snowstorm. That's so snowplow drivers have enough room to do their jobs. In some places, vehicles could be towed at the owner's expense. The heaviest snow is falling in the southeastern two-thirds of the state. Republicans say they'll shut down the federal government if they don't get a deal to shut down the southern border. Congressman Ryan Stile on WISN-TV's Up Front.
We're fighting about whether or not we should be mopping up the mess on the floor. I say, turn the spigot off, and you turn the spigot off by actually ending the illegal immigration in the United States and securing the border.
Democrats note that lawmakers have passed on several opportunities to update immigration laws, but haven't. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Be sure you're staying at least 200 feet behind a working snowplow today. If you can't see the plow's mirrors, they can't see you. Crews are preparing for potentially hazardous conditions as the storm moves into the area today. It could begin with a light glaze of ice, which will cause a slick layer under the expected snowfall. Wind gusts could be as high as 35 miles per hour this afternoon, which will reduce visibility with blowing snow. Travel could be difficult. Be sure your emergency kit is prepared and your phone fully charged. Have a full gas tank and windshield washer fluid. Tax season is just around the corner. In Portage County, seniors and low-income individuals and families can receive free tax assistance from local organizations and volunteers starting January 10th. Call United Way's 211 to check your eligibility and schedule an appointment. Services are available January 23rd through April 15th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And my electrical was deemed unsafe. And I was about to lose homeowners insurance as well. I didn't really know where to go in order to get help. And so I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. They've really been a blessing. Operation Homefront is the safety.
A Packer player sent to the hospital. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs had to be sent to a nearby hospital after taking a hit against the Bears Sunday night that left him coughing up blood on the sidelines. Matt LaFleur with an update on Doubs, listed with a chest injury.
This morning, it seems to be he's doing better, but he'll be day-to-day, I would say.
Did he go to the hospital to get checked out?
Yes, he did.
Is he out now, you know?
Oh, yeah.
The Packers play the Cowboys Sunday in Dallas. College football. The Michigan Wolverines are national champions. They beat Washington last night 34-13. It's the first national title for Michigan since 1997 when one of their players, Charles Woodson, won the Heisman Trophy. NBA. The Bucks with another loss at home, 132-116. The Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin on how the Jazz kept finding open shots.
You know, they were just shooting behind our switches, you know, and that's something we stress, you know, being physical, pushing up, switch under, you know. We dug ourselves in a hole, but we kept fighting.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter storm warnings continue. Snow showers and windy. Gusts at times 30 to 40 miles an hour with areas of blowing snow. Up to another inch this evening with snow tapering overnight. It looks mostly cloudy for tomorrow. High temperatures in the low 30s. Right now it's 31.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel.
Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy.
Bria Krieger joining us, a local artist.
To welcome to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest's own Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on locally grown radio.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
It is, and you are all my friends and all welcome to call the Maggie Dawn Show, 844-967-2789. Give Anya a buzz. You can always text us as well. Couple of programming notes. Listen, big, huge Packers game coming up this next Sunday. Civic Media coverage of the Packers game is going to begin at 1 o'clock. You can catch us at WRCO Richland Center, 100.9 FM. Hello, Richland Center. I hope you're digging out of this snow all right. WRJN Racine, 1400 AM, 99.9 FM. Hello to my friends in Kenosha, 98.1 FM. And let's not forget WCQM Park Falls, Wisconsin. Hello, Park Falls, 98.3 FM. They will all be carrying the Packers game this coming Sunday. You're not going to want to miss it. If you don't live in one of those areas, you're like, how do I listen to that? You just go get that Civic Media app for free. It's the gift that keeps on giving from your favorite app store. Just ask them for the Civic Media app and you can check out the Packers or any of our other great shows there. So I wanted to get into a bit about the Chevron doctrine and what's coming up before the federal courts and the Supreme Court in this next term. Do you want to give a shout out to some of our terrific texters? Angel from Kenosha texting in. She appreciates that I refer to the president in her pronoun form as she. Angel, I sometimes refer to God as a she too, and I would imagine she's pretty pissed off these days. Also, another texter texting in, how is POTUS being above the law even logical to folks? People can't actually believe that that would be a good idea. I don't think any of us do. We're getting caught up in this moment where I think some politicians are using all kinds of issues and identity politics in a way to separate us. Now, when you hear the term identity politics, right? Like generally we hear that term leveled by folks from the right end of the dial against folks on the left end of the dial. But here's what: acknowledging that we all have different ways that we identify ourselves and that oftentimes because of those identities, we experience life differently. That's what I understand us to be about, that we understand that people have different lived experiences and we want to respect those differences, that respecting differences and welcoming differences is actually very American. That's what, hey, give me your poor, your weak, your tired, your huddled masses yearning to be free, that we all are yearning to be free together, whatever our differences may be. I don't see the left trying to separate us because of those different identities that we have. I see the left asking folks to allow all of us the right to self-determine, to be free, no matter what our identities are. I see from the right the use of identity to separate us. The identity politics of it is not a left idea. That's a right idea. And I don't think that's really what most of us think. We just don't. We want people to be able to self-determine and have those freedoms guaranteed to all of us in the Constitution. And I think when you look at this moment and the way these issues are being used to divide us and the way that the Supreme Court bought and paid for by a bunch of billionaires, one in particular, that's you, Justice Thomas. You know, I don't think they have the interests of us regular folks yearning to be free at heart. That's what's concerning about this moment, that we're having a debate about whether or not a president can commit whatever crimes she wants to and then simply resign and avoid accountability. That a president could steal our money, our hard-earned tax dollars, to enrich themselves, and that that's okay and not criminally prosecutable. That's not what we believe, and that's not freedom promoting, right? That's oppression. That's divine right of king stuff. We don't do that here. At least I didn't think we did. What do you think? 844-967-2789. The Chevron doctrine. Don't worry, this won't be boring, I promise. You often hear some folks talk about the regulatory state or the swamp. Generally, this sort of means the experts that work in different federal or state agencies that may work there for their entire lifetime, that have certain academic credentials and subject matter expertise that help promote rules and regulations that help ensure clean water for all of us, clean air for all of us to breathe, that we all have good, clean, accessible parks, that labor standards are fair and enforced for all employers and employees, that we're all treated fairly. That's regulation, right? And that's what the Chevron Doctrine is about. The Chevron Doctrine asks, when can a court undo what a regulatory agency, what an agency of the federal government, and to an extent, state and local government as well, but that doctrine specifically about the federal government, when can a court say that a federal agency like the FDA has exceeded its authority? What's the rule that permits a court to intervene, right? Because again, one side of the aisle has made an argument about activist courts for a long time, right? That's what you hear, oh, these activist jurists making the law up. And often it's aimed at regulations. But who's actually arguing that judges should be able to make the law up? I'm here to tell you, it ain't Democrats. It's conservatives. If we don't like judges just deciding because of their own set of personal beliefs, which can be biased on the right and the left, right? We don't like the idea of judges just deciding what things should be and bypassing our electoral process, especially those unelected judges, right? You hear that a lot. If that's a bad thing, then let's understand what the legal standard is that permits judges to do exactly that when it comes to regulations. And by the way, the vast majority of stuff that impact stuff of laws, of regulations that impact our quality of life, it's actually regulations. It's not the criminal statutes. Most of us don't engage with the criminal justice system, especially if you're white and well off, right? The vast amount of stuff from government that impacts us, it's from regulations. So it's important, in my view, to understand how judges, how the federal court system reviews regulations, because they have such an enormous impact on our quality of life, especially if you happen to be poorer, female, LGBTQIA+, Jewish, Muslim, Black or brown, or an immigrant. Okay? And the standard for how the courts review regulations was established in a clear way in 1984 in a case called Chevron versus the National Resources Defense Council. And it's referred to as the Chevron Doctrine. And guess what? This decision was pretty darn commonsensical. It's one of the times where you actually read something and you go, oh, my, the Supreme Court, anybody can read that. It's a very short opinion also for Supreme Court opinions. And basically, the Chevron Doctrine says this. It was the law passed by Congress that the agency is promoting rules or enforcement actions or regulations about. Is the law passed by Congress vague, silent, and subject to interpretation about the particular issue that the rule or regulation was about, right? Because the Clean Air Act can't envision every single contaminant or pollution agent that we might ever need to regulate, nor can it anticipate how scientific consensus moves over time about what amounts of contaminants or carcinogens are safe. So some of those really specific things are then left to the EPA. So the first question is the law passed by Congress vague, silent, and subject to interpretation about that particular issue? And if so, is the regulation that has been passed by the agency, adopted by the agency, reasonable? If so, the court cannot overrule that. Now, there's lots of inquiries that a court engages in to test reasonableness. Right? And they'll look at some of the scientific evidence produced. They'll look at the process that the agency undertook. They'll look and see if the note and comment period, which allows the public and those that will be subject to the regulation, those that will perhaps pay higher business costs because of the regulation, the note and comment period engages all of us to provide our comments. So they'll look at all those things. But if it's reasonable at the end of the day, the regulation or the enforcement action will stand. Well, there are four cases before the Supreme Court that it will hear or has already heard arguments on and has not issued a decision regarding that basically, in my judgment, are likely to result in the Supreme Court doing away with the Chevron doctrine. And my question to you all, my friends, is this. When we have such questions of law coming before us, such as, is a president a king here in the United States? And we have questions before us that many people hold very sincere differences of opinion about, abortion, contraception, all these things. And if it's true that in general, we don't want judges simply picking winners and losers without known standards, right? Rules of interpretation of the law. We don't just want them picking based on their personal beliefs because of the God that they happen to pray to or the political party that they happen to believe more in. We don't want it. We don't want our legal system to become just a partisan cesspool, do we? Then I am deeply concerned about what is going to happen this year before the Supreme Court when it comes to how the court decides to review regulations. The cases, if you're interested, are the Consumer Financial Protection Board versus Community Financial Services Association, SEC v. Jarkski, Loper versus Raimondo, and Relentless versus Department of Commerce. Those are the technical case names. If you want to go look them up, I'm not going to get into the case details here because it doesn't matter. What those four cases are going to do is take away the Chevron doctrine. And here's what I want us all to think about, no matter where you land on the political spectrum. Who decides then? If the standard isn't, is the regulation reasonable given what Congress enacted and supported with enough scientific evidence? If it's just that any individual judge can decide, that's not enough, I'm going to rule differently, even if I don't have any subject matter expertise at all in the world about that topic. Where does that leave all of us? That reality to me is deeply, deeply frightening. And if you haven't listened to the episodes from the Maggie Dawn Show in early December about the Supreme Court's shadow docket, go check them out. Because what we find ourselves at is a moment in time that I can describe in no other way than a tipping point, where the Supreme Court has expanded its powers to impact all of our lives in incredible ways, ways that have no historical precedent, have refused every effort of Congress and the people to hold them accountable to any sort of standard disclosure rules and ethical rules to the detriment of us all. We can't even know if they're bought and paid for by billionaires. And they're about to do away with even the most basic commonsensical standard for reviewing regulations, leaving us all in peril. Where does that leave all of us? It is a scary moment. 844-967-2789. I want to hear from you. Is this the way it's supposed to work? You can text us to 844-967-2789. We'll be back with more in just a few.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
The D3.
T3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in. And one.
The thrilling victories.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defense?
offensively tonight.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three in the lead. He had it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner three. Got it again.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. SmileTrain is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I know that I have painted a dire picture of the situation that we all find ourselves in. We've got arguments being made in courts that presidents are kings. We've got a Supreme Court unmoored by any ethical standards, claiming that Congress in many ways doesn't have the power to actually place transparency requirements and ethical rules upon the court, which is constitutionally false. Topic for another day. We've got a Supreme Court that's expanded its own power without any action by Congress beyond any historical conception that we've ever had of a Supreme Court. We've got a Supreme Court doing so in the dark by issuing shadow docket rulings. Again, go check out those episodes from early December. We've got a set of cases coming through that could fundamentally alter all of our lives. Business owners, employees, gig workers, parents, immigrants, women, the LGBTQIA community. And so what are we to do here is a really good question. And I am here to tell you, do not despair, because more of us, I think, align on these basic principles than don't. And if that's true, talking about this stuff with one another in community with empathy and compassion, even when people say things that we find repugnant, to try to return ourselves to some of these basic questions. Do we believe presidents are kings? No. Okay, well, then that leads us down a certain set of steps. It requires us as citizens to accept responsibility, to continue to educate ourselves as much as we can. It's one of the reasons that I listed those technical cases. Go read about them. You can always continue to listen to this show. I'll do my best with you in community to learn more, to grow more. But it requires each of us to accept our responsibility as citizens to talk about these things, even when it is so difficult, especially with friends and family. Hey, do you know what the Chevron doctrine is? You can be the smartest person at your next cocktail party. No, they roll their eyes. Well, hey, do you like having clean air and water to drink and breathe? This is the regulatory standard. Was the law silent about it? Is it vague about it? And was the rule promulgated reasonable? Doesn't that seem like the right way to approach that? Or should we have individual unelected judges telling us what the rules and regulations that help us stay safe should be? Those are conversations we can engage with one another every day that I don't think are particularly partisan. Because here's what, at the end of the day, I really don't think that the insurrectionists, that the fascists outnumber the rest of us regular people. They just don't. And so wherever it ends up with Trump being on the ballot or not, here's the solution. agitate, talk to one another, educate yourselves, share information, ask good questions. Don't check out. And then go vote. Drag others to the polls. Make sure everyone you know is registered. I don't care what their partisan leaning is. The more, the merrier. That's what democracy needs. If we do that, if we come together, if we can return to a place where we can have meaningful conversations, and I fail at that sometimes, but if we can do that together, we have nothing to fear in this next election cycle, because the values that the vast majority of us believe in aren't really up for any kind of meaningful debate. I'm going to go to the phones if you want to get it in before the end of the hour. 844-967-2789. Mark from Prairie du Sac, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show.
Thank you for taking my call, Maggie. I think Hamilton addressed whether the president is a king or not in the Federalist 69. You know, the president is an officer of elected by the people, amenable to personal punishment and disgrace. And the president, one of the president's presidential duties that they take an oath to is to faithfully execute, to take care that the laws are faithfully executed. That that's part of his presidential duties, to make sure the laws are faithfully executed, which Trump failed to do. I mean, they take the oath to the best of their abilities. And hear these complaints about Joe Biden. Well, he hasn't done this. He hasn't done an adequate job of this. He's doing the best he can, as Trump supposedly did while he was president. But when you choose to violate the law, to take the law into your own hand, as Trump did when he did the fake electors thing, and I'd like to know how far that conspiracy went up and down all the states across the country within the Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin. How many of the Republican, if they poll, you know, tried to draft electors throughout the Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin and told them, well, we got this plan to do this, knowing that this fake elector thing was a violation of law, how many of them should actually be drawn into this rather than just the 10 or 12 that we know about? How many others were aware of this and failed in their duty to protect the Constitution of Wisconsin and the United States?
I couldn't agree with you more, Mark. And I think all of us need to look sort of deep into our hearts and to try to engage in the conversations in a way that encourages all of us, even the people that we disagree with, to look into our hearts and to say, hey, what do we know is right here? I believe that the American people do know what's right. And part of this is returning us to a place where people feel empowered to engage the tools and the levers that we have in our control to make the values that we hold most dear show up in election results. That's the way democracies work. And most of us damn well believe presidents aren't kings. We don't believe in fascism. We don't believe that violence is the way to respond when you have political disagreement. And indeed, that is the American way. We will vote. We will vote and we will vote again. It is time that we all take that responsibility as seriously as we possibly can. Please talk to folks that you know and love. It doesn't matter if your conversations are perfect or messy or if you don't feel like an expert. Engage them, because that is where the magic lies, everybody. You and we can do this together. I'm Maggie Dawn. Come back tomorrow. I'm going to be talking about free speech on college campuses and a whole bunch of other fun stuff here on the Maggie Dawn Show. My thanks to you for listening. Drive safe out there, everybody. Check in on your neighbors.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The morning show on WFHR, it's different.
That's when all of a sudden, if you notice every other Batman costume, the cowl is not attached to the suit anymore.
Right.
And Batman can actually do this amazing thing where he turns his head. The Joker's masterful plan of going to the left. Serpentine. Serpentine.
Serpentine.
Quick penguin. Serpentine.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 a.m. only on Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is the